May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, Jesus, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So tonight we're going to be talking about praising God, and we're going to be thinking about his providence and the fact that he is the creator and that he is faithful. And the psalm that we're looking at is in the final book of Psalms. It's split into sections. And there are some of the finest psalms of praise in this particular section. Now, this psalm is inviting the entire congregation to praise the Lord, which is the familiar phrase, hallelujah. It's very familiar to me, being a Pentecostal at heart. And it's used 24 times in the Psalms altogether. Now, the Psalms sing promise they sing and promise to sing for as long as they will live. Okay, so it's a lifelong promise to praise God. And they want to focus on God and praise God actually for who he is. So we're going to be thinking about what he's done in a little while. But even if he hadn't done anything and he was still the God that we know and love, then he is worthy of your praise without even doing anything. So it's worth sometimes thinking about that, because we always launch into thank you for this, thank you for that, but thank you for who he is. And he is worthy of our praise despite our feelings. Now, I'm not sure how you've come into the service tonight, whether you're stressed or not, whether you're feeling up or down or whatever. But it doesn't really matter how we're feeling, because we have a responsibility to praise God whatever's going on in our life. And this psalm, it started to encourage people to do it individually and then moves on to talk about doing it corporately as a congregation. So we've already started by the songs we've been singing and the words that we've said. Now, when we praise and worship, we are actually transformed. God's light shines on us. And do you remember the story of Moses, where his face changed after he'd spent time with God? Well, I think that should happen to us when we praise and worship. And so when we go out of here tonight, we go out different. We go out changed to be salt and light for the world. We're actually participating with God. We're working with him, we're praising him, and we're working with him in relationship. Sometimes it's easy just to go through the motions, especially if you know the words off by heart. But I would encourage us all to try and make a conscious decision as soon as we walk through the doors of our church, if we're not doing it before we arrive, that we're going to engage with God and that we're going to praise him anyway. We're not going to just do what we always do because we always do it, but we're going to switch on as soon as we walk through the door and enter into praise and worship. And when we do that, when we feel the intimacy of God in praise and worship, that becomes very, very special. And if you're anything like me, you start to revel in it and you just long for more. It's about seeking his glory and stepping outside of ourselves. So when you enter into praise and worship with Jesus, you tend to forget about your own troubles and what's going on in your life, because you're concentrating on God. And God desires for us to worship him. And when we do this, we align ourselves with God. And God is the truth. And we align ourselves with the truth. We need to start with an attitude of thankfulness and have a grateful heart. And if you struggle with this, there's a practical thing that you can do. Somebody gave me a journal quite a few years ago, and it's pretty on the cover, and it's got little Bible references at the bottom. And I decided that I would use it every day, and when I wake up and I do my prayer time, I get it out and I write down at least one thing that I can be thankful for and praise God for. So that's what I do. And then if I'm having a really bad day and I'm struggling to think of anything, I can look back and see all the things that I've been thankful for. Praising then creates joy, which puts a smile on our face. And we need to be praising God forever and ever and ever. And if it's a joyful experience, if it's positive, then we'll naturally want to do it. We've got lots of reasons to praise God for, the main one being that Jesus came and has saved each one of us. We need to do this wholeheartedly, okay? Not just half measures, wholeheartedly, all in. Praise God with the whole of our hearts. Sometimes sing new songs, and the Psalms say, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So if you're breathing, you've got no excuse. And we need to do this for all of our lives, and we need to be in this for the long haul. That used to be one of Richard Fair's favourite phrases, you need to be in this for the long haul, and he was right. They are encouraged in the psalm not to put their trust in anything or anyone else. So do not put your trust in mortal man. Do not put your trust in princes. They are no help. At this time, there was an exilic disillusionment with the Davidic monarchy, and so the people weren't very happy. Human political power will fail because their plans die with them. We must not put our hope in humans or human institutions. And I don't know how you're feeling after the big vote that we've just had, but after reading this, it sort of made me feel, oh, it's okay anyway, because God's in control, not people. Only God can help us. He alone is our salvation. He is powerful. So we can say hallelujah for providence, because we've seen God and his footprints in history. It talks about the God of Jacob. And I'm just going to read some verses from Exodus 6. Therefore to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will free you from the burdens of the Egyptians and deliver you from slavery to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. You shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has freed you from the burdens of the Egyptians. That was a promise to Jacob. Now, if we remember the story of Jacob, God protected him. He wasn't getting it right from the start, though, because he pretended to be Esau. And he got the birthright by deception. But he wasn't written off. Just because he made a mistake, he wasn't written off. And then there's a lovely passage that talks about the ladder. On the night Jacob had a wonderful dream. In his dream he saw stairs leading from the earth where he lay up to heaven. And angels were going up and coming down the stairs. And above the stairs he saw the Lord God standing. And God said to Jacob, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac, your father, and I will be your God too. The land where you are, lying all alone, shall belong to you and your children after you. And your children shall spread above over the lands east and west and north and south, like the dust of the earth, and in your family all of the world shall receive a blessing. And I am with you in your journey, and I will keep you where you are going, and bring you back to this land. I will never leave you, and I will surely keep my promise to you. And if you remember the story, Jacob goes on and has 11 sons, and he was truly blessed. We can say hallelujah, because God is our creator. So we thank God for nature. So think of what God has done. He's the maker of heaven and earth. He is the source of our help. He is our creator, and we are reminded of this in the creation story, how God made heaven and earth. God's greatness in creation is massive. Our God has total power. We bless God for his creation. We ascribe to him greatness, honour and majesty. My meditation of him shall be sweet, and I will be glad in it, says one of the psalmists. So, I did do a list. So I'm going to just read a few things out about creation, and maybe you can just visualise them, and then it'll help you with your singing in a bit. So we've got sun, moon, stars, flowers, grass, babies, trees, dogs, horses, sea, birds, fish, hills, and rainbows. And I'm sure you can think of many, many other things in the creation that you want to thank and praise God for. And finally, he is faithful. We can trust him because we know that he provides. Watchman Nee wrote, "Everything in our service for the Lord is dependent upon his blessing. In the feeding of the 5,000 in John's Gospel, 5 loaves and 2 fish were woefully inadequate to meet the demand. The disciples tried to get 200 denarii, but they knew that that wouldn't be enough either. Anyway, the Lord blessed it and broke the bread, and there was enough to feed everybody, and there was 12 baskets full left over. So the meeting of the need is not dependent on the supply in the hand, but on the blessing of the Lord's resting on the supply. This was a divine activity. And God also does many other acts of divineness and acts of deliverance. He goes on to talk about his all-embracing pity, socially and personally. Our God is a God of moral exactness, who is moved by the plight of the needy. He upholds the cause of the oppressed. He sustains and protects us. Now, in one of the commentaries, it said that a mark of a true king was to have concern for the oppressed, but not many of the kings lived up to this request. And this led me to think about the passage in Matthew 25. The king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer to them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to the one of the least of these who are my members of my family, you did it to me." God cares about all of these things. He also gives sight to the blind, not just physically, but spiritually too. He lifts up those who are bowed down. No matter how low we go, we're never going to be beyond God's grace. He cares for the fatherless and for the widow. He watches over the strangers. And if God has compassion for these people, then so should we. The Lord will reign forever. He is always there, and we should praise him indeed. We should adore him. Blessed be the Lord. Keep your faith forever. The kingship is to care for the powerless in society, and human authorities generally fail to deliver this. For our Lord loves the righteousness and loves justice. He is our help and he is sovereign. So he is a God of providence. He is our creator and he is faithful. We can trust him. He sustains and protects us. And everybody said, Hallelujah.